You're connected to CNN Network. Currently connected to CNN Network. Connected to CNN Network. You're connected to CNN Network. Connected to CNN Network. You're connected to CNN Network. Currently connected to CNN Network. Connected to CNN Network. You're connected to CNN Network. Connected to CNN Network. You're connected to CNN Network. Currently connected to CNN Network. Connected to CNN Network.
W8FU.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Hey, dear. I heard you. I just thought I'd say hello. I'm still getting dressed, so I take it you're in or out.
Yeah, I'm taking the long road over that side of town here. Could be a while.
Well, you're on the official channel of the Breakfast Club.
I mean the official network. There's multiple channels.
I stand corrected. You are right. It is a network.
Yeah, on my repeater right now, which has a range of about 5 miles. Can't wait to get that relocated.
I heard somebody key in the mic. All right, very good. I'll be in the car in about 5, maybe 10 at the most. I'll call you then. Of course, I only have about a 5-minute drive as well, so a little bit better. Be safe. I'm sure the other guests will start popping up here shortly. KPR, WABD.
All right, see you shortly, KPR. Was that you, Donald? Very noisy.
ARCY.
Well, Donald, you're quite noisy. Try again.
Good morning, Phil. Is this any better?
Yeah, you're copyable.
Okay, well, I beat everybody here because Wally and Tim aren't here yet. But I only had to come from the Baltimore Chesterfield area. And I didn't know exactly where this place was, and it was easier to find than I thought. So, all right, we'll see you when you get up here. I'm on the, well, we're probably to the north side of the place, far side as you're coming up Main Street. We'll see you when you get here, W8RCY.
All right, sounds good. You win the award, I guess. Wally was just down. He's just getting dressed, so sounds good. See you there. Okay, Pierre.
Where are you at, Philip?
75 and 59.
Did you say 75 and 59? My GPS yapped at me right when you said whatever it was before 59.
Yes, sir. Just heading out of Pontiac.
Roger, Dodger. I'm a little ahead of you.
Well, slow down.
Have you seen Wally's tape, or have you just heard about it?
No, I haven't, and I'm not sure I want to.
I'm not sure if he's bringing it, but, yeah, you should check that thing out. I'll tell you what, they've got form factor down. So for what they give up, you know, that one little bugaboo, that switching between digital modes, they got everything else in spades. Back here, Delta. EDFU.
I knew when I said that was coming. Good morning, everybody. I am bringing the tape radio. I'm bringing the work card. And the work wife. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I would like to see it. Definitely a cool thing. Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have that. I mean, I'm not sure it's a deal killer, but, I mean, my other thought is, I was mentioning, is maybe just getting, you know, CS-800 in here. That way I have both B-25 and CMR running simultaneously, two radios, but who knows what I'm going to do. But I see a Dayton will make a lot. I'll make my decision. Go ahead, Sean.
If you wanted to go multiple radios, you know, Smart Move would be a P25 VHF and a DMR UHF. And, you know, because TJ's machine is a beast for P25. So that would be a way one could go. Wally?
Yeah, Sean said TJ's machine is a beast. Works real well. That's what I was running around with for a while, was both, and yeah, you can hit his anywhere, and he's got multiple receive antennas, I think three that I know of, so it does quite well. So that it is fun, and then he's got a 900, which that's kind of a plus for this radio. It wouldn't mean anything to Phil, because you know, it only covers Macomb County, and it does Macomb County really well, but it only covers Macomb County. So, but yeah, it's kind of fun. But yeah, they say they're going to have that hiccup fixed. I don't know. You know, everybody in the radio world says a lot of things, and things just never seem to happen. Although they have not pushed out a new firmware or software programming for the state in quite some time. So maybe they are working on it or trying to perfect it. And the sales rep told me that they were trying to satisfy some need for the state so they could get the final approval for that. So I think that might be another holdup on their part, too. So, but I don't know. Can a Kenwood guy go ahead and put a Tate radio in his car?
I'll put whatever is in that will work. So... yeah, I don't know. Does the P25 have good VHF coverage in my area, Pontiac, you know, area? That would be my question. And then I'd have to, you know, get a whole different radio for that. I'm not sure I want to do that. Sean?
Well, I was just offering it up as kind of, you know, if you're going to go the two radio route, you kind of want to cover both your modes and both your protocols and both your bands. That might be a way to go. I don't know for sure if, I mean, I'm guessing he probably covers pretty well in the Pontiac. Probably be a coin flip.
Phil, I got like three or four VHF only tapes. If you want, I'll let you play with one. Program it up and give it to you, or I'll program it up and give you the programming software and the cable. They're real easy to program, and play around with it for a while and see if you do have coverage.
That's handheld, right?
Mobile.
Oh, maybe. I'm not quite sure how I'd set it up, but if you're willing to do that, I'll try it out.
Connected.
Yeah, I got
CNN
a couple
Network.
Cutting off real quick. I got a couple handhelds too. Go ahead, John.
No, you guys are talking about something, so no need to throw me in there. But yep, there you go. You can give it a try and see how it works for you. If it does, then that's an option to get you the multi-protocol dual band situation, if you're going to run two, right? So I've been thinking about my options.
Billy can also
the only thing is I want to have at least one radio that I can program. got a new
radio. Like I said, you
front panel programming or VFO.
Cable up.
Remember, it's not
a problem. More remote.
Do anything I want.
I
mean, if I'm in the area or whatever, so I don't want to lock myself into two commercial radios that are either very difficult to do that with or not at all.
Some big entity had some of them that went someplace else or upgraded or something like that, but they're all over the place, and I'll give you a good deal on one if you like it. If not, that's fine, too. Man, they got probably, the cables are more money than the darn radios. Good, though.
I'm sorry, it's bubble with you. Say again.
I said, I'll give you a really good deal on one of these radios. The problem with these radios is the cables are more money than the darn radios, the accessories, but there's a lot of those radios out there.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. I was saying that I at least want to have one radio that in my car that can do, you know, like amateur mode, you know, have VFO memory so I can tune in anything I want when I want. I don't want to be locked into two radios that either are very difficult to put another frequency in or can't at all, you know, that are just set to whatever you got a program for. That's my main concern.
Good, John.
Let's see if I've got it. Yep, that's worthwhile to have that. You know, it always comes up. You know, you want to punch something in on the fly. You can get away without, but it's going to get you at some point. You're going to wish you could key it in. But, you know, honestly, you'll have, you know, if you had a VHF and a UHF radio, let's say, you know, and you could freewheel on the VHF radio, inevitably somebody would want you to freewheel on the UHF. You know, just that's what would happen.
Yeah, you said that CS800D, the, you know, DMR on both bands, and supposedly the new firmware you've got coming is going to be allow front panel programming, so you just punch in frequencies, PLs, things like that, that you need to listen to. So, we'll see. Just don't know. So, I mean, my other radio is the Yaesu 310s in the car here, and truly I don't use it that much, but I do like listening to other things on it. Like I was listening to the Macomb when they had this space shot stuff on it. That was kind of interesting. Go ahead, Wally. You must be there by now. Well, maybe he's there. Where are you, Sean?
I am northbound Gratiot. Where am I at here? 21.
Oh, you're way ahead of me. You're almost there.
No, I think they're more like 26. So, but yeah, I guess.
I'm just passing the Golden Buckle.
Is the, are you navigating or are you just driving there? And if you're navigating, is it having you take Gratiot or is it having you take 94?
94.
I had to stop by my shop this morning. That's why I got out ahead. I didn't know how long I'd be. Turns out it was just a minute. But for some reason it has me took Gratiot. Like, huh, wonder why it's having me do that.
Probably because you're right there.
I mean, I was Hall Road and Gross, but
are you using Waze? What was that?
Hmm. switched over to Richmond. Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir. I'm on Richmond now. Am I making it?
Yes, you are.
A little noisy on the receipt, but I am about 75 watts, so you should hear it fine. I'm at Juliet over Ford.
Where are you at, Bill?
Like I said, it's Julia Lover's board.
How am I doing on this one? I'm on a 2.6.
Yeah, you're fine. I'm receiving the word. A little spotty right now.
Alright, I just got here. So I figured, where are you at? You on Gratiot yet?
No, I'm coming up to Gratiot, but it says 1094.
Oh, right. That's right, you're taking 94. It ran me up Gratiot for some reason. I was out a little further ahead than I thought. I have no doubt. That's why I was kind of puzzled when my GPS told me to take it. Oh well, shrug a roo.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm back on 2.6. I'm hearing it better.
Yeah, I was fine on Richmond until I backed into a parking spot, and then all of a sudden Richmond got really, really pee-willy. So I switched back over to 2.6.
About
Mount Clemens. Yeah, I was on that for a while. That works real good where you're at, for sure. And it'll carry you all the way up here.
Yeah, I'm on there now, so should be okay.
Let me try it.
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, you're saying I'm better on Mount Clemens?
Yeah, the audio is a little tinnier.
Yeah, that one's got it always sounds a little weird. But, yeah, see, it's a lot weaker signal-wise here. But I'm getting in better, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that settles it. I need a satellite receiver here in New Haven for the 2.6.
All right, just about to get on 94.
Roger that. All right, I'm going to jump in. We'll see you when you get here. We'll keep a light on, all that good stuff. Just wanted to see how far along you were. I was out ahead a little further than I thought. After yours, WAFU.
All right, see you there, Kate Pierre.
This again, KFA that's mobile.
Hey, WA, flag 7, good morning.
You got my breakfast? Roger, roger. Alright, I'm probably about 15 now. Yeah, Siri's not navigating me right, but I know where it is. So, I'm not sure how, probably about 10 minutes out.
Yeah, I know Brent Van is just coming from Memphis, it's 10 minutes, and then 10 minutes over to New Haven.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Alright, so I don't know what happened there, but there was like no modulation. You started out talking and then it was just dead key. Which machine are you on now? Yeah, that was weird. I got like one word and then it dead keyed.
How about now, KCKKO?
No, I got you now. I meant on the transmission before the last transmission when you were responding about getting a pie same day for like $15.
Oh, no, I thought that was you that said you get a Raspberry Pi for $15. No, I said, are those, the Pi 1s, are they similar to the Pi 5 where you have a SD memory chip in it that you can pull out and then just move it over to another Pi and plug it in and it's up and running?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, they're all the Raspberry Pis are like that. I mean, as far as horsepower, it's not even comparable, but a Pi 02W will do just fine for an all-star node.
Gotcha. All right, so you need that, the chip in there is what has the operating system on it, correct? So if you pull out the little SIM card and plug it into the new Pi, it'll run just fine. It'll just boot right up.
Yeah, the OS and the all the file structure live on an SD card, and the Pi is just nothing more than the board that makes it all work together.
Okay, that's what I thought. So all I gotta get is another Pi, and then he just takes the chip out, put it in the new one, and everything is like it was before. Gotcha.
Yeah, just a little $15 boo-boo.
Yeah, I got the Pi 5 for the price of a Pi 4, and, you know, so I know it's a little bit more robust, a little bit more powerful. And it just sits behind my TV with the All-Star stuck on the wall kind of thing. Works just fine.
I haven't made the jump yet because I've been so happy with my Pi 4s, but I've got a Pi 4B running iGate, which is just a gateway in my ham clock, and then I got a Pi 4 clear node, and then I got a Pi 4 running ASL3 for the repeater, and I think they're all the same model, actually, all the 4 gig. They've been great. I just haven't had a need to buy the 5 yet, and I know that when they first came out, there was some issues. I don't remember what exactly, but the images were slightly different, so I just stuck with what I knew was going to work, but I've heard people really like the Pi 5s. I'll probably pick one up eventually. I just don't have a need for a Pi project at the moment. The last one was the repeater, and it's funny because they're all identical. They're all in the same case with the same fan.
Yeah, I don't have the fan on mine. I just got a big, huge heat sink, so it's a metal case that pops right on top of the chips with the little expansion foam or whatever it is that goes between the chip and the heat sink. And she runs nice and cool. And she does great for me. I guess if I wanted to create a second, what do you want to say, a second operating system in it, I got a 128-gig chip in there, so I got more than enough capability.
Connected to CMN Network.
I don't know if you can dual boot a Raspberry Pi. Maybe, I don't know if you can or not. You have to burn the OS, and I don't think it lets you partition the SD card. But I usually just buy I forgot what the hell the brand is. I bought a Wayfair PoE hat, and I had tons of issues with it. It would take out my whole network. I don't know what was wrong with it. So there's this other brand that I use, but they're all on PoE hats, so all I got to do is plug in an Ethernet cable that's PoE. And then there's a pinout on there for fans, so then I just put a knock to a 25-mil fan on each of them, and they just run great. I kind of set and forget. Like, my iGate's been in there for over a year. I haven't touched it. Just have a VNC viewer on it, so I can remote into it if I need to, and then the amp clock runs on, it runs its own web server locally on my LAN, so I just have a bookmark for that IP address, and it's static. But, yeah, Pis are sweet. You can do a lot of stuff with them. They work well for simple tasks.
Oh, I know. It's pretty cool. I mean, I got an HDMI out on it, so I don't know what the screen will show. But I might hook that up and put it to the back of my TV and another HDMI input. See if I see anything different, I guess.
Pretty sure they're 1080p output, so you'll have a giant background of whatever's going on the Pi. Hey, I got a question. Go ahead, question. With all the
with all the things that are out there for ties, first of all, I don't even know if GPIO will support memory, but is there any kind of a hat that'll give you like some SSD or something like that? Is there any way to add SSD to one? Because, you know, one of the Achilles heel of the Pi is the fact that everything's got to be on SD card, and those are probably the weakest link in the whole thing. Has anybody found a better way to do memory on those for a little bit more robust system? They make NVMe hats for it, so you can turn it into a NAS. I mean, you can build that thing out to multiple terabytes. But I don't think the OS can live anywhere other than that SD card. That's where it reads it from.
The new 5 have a special NVMe hat, and on the 5 you can boot off the NVMe with the new firmware.
Ooh, so that kind of fixes the one caveat that I always have for Pis. That's a big plus for the 5.
I doubled there, Fred. Give me that one more time. I heard that it's capable, but only on the 5.
Yeah, the firmware was it Christmas's firmware? The 5 was a new firmware, and if the NVMe hat is going through the little ribbon thingy or whatever, you can then have the Pi boot off of that. But at first it won't. You have to do a firmware upgrade, and then you can boot the OS off the NVMe hat. But why? When we spend $10 for a Wise.
Well, of course, then there's that.
That does seem like too many hoops to jump through for a little more robustness out of something that's not supposed to be super robust. Especially when I would say that all of us have pretty easy access to old machines.
Yeah, exactly. But for our mesh core stuff that I'm building, we're just going to use Pis and not worry about it because they're not going to write to the SD card as much. But for nodes, yeah. Anywho, alright, WFSM Mobile heading up to Denton Hill to do some tower work.
Who's got their APRS on?
Well, I do, but it's over on VHF right now. I can see it. Both sides of that radio are on the VHF.
All right, I just did my Kroger pickup. I got to unload and I'll be back at 8 DBS.
KCK Hill. Hello, Fred. John, you must be almost home.
Yeah, mate, me, Alex. I got a question.
Someone has a question.
So if I'm hearing this right, if I get a new SD card, and I burn it with AllStar, with all the AllStar software and everything like that, then I can pull the card out of my Pi. DVM, and put it in there, and it'll run as an AllStar node then.
Put it in your what? DVM.
Yeah, I've got an MMDVM hat on my Pi Star. It's the 2W or 02W, whatever it is. Can I load a card with AllStar's software and OS and everything? Pull the one I have in there now, which is just running a regular standard DMR OS in it, will it run as an AllStar mode?
And all the MMDVM hats I've seen are digital, so no, you won't. They're not analog sound card interface ones.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was just checking. Thank you very much. KF8BLX.
Now, how about a WISE, Fred? Is that like, isn't that little Dell box or whatever?
You install regular Debian on a WISE. It's x86, so it's way more powerful than a Raspberry Pi ARM. So you just install standard Debian on it, and you add the ASL package, and away you go.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. That's something for the future. I already have the, you know, the one All-Star. You know, I got my Pi with the All-Star node. You know, the little Sherry, I guess is what you call it. And, works pretty good. Does what I need it to do, so I'm a happy camper on that.
Well, there you go. I'm finding a bunch of, well, we replaced, I think, all the Pis. Well, I want to say all of them, but at least I think on the repeaters, we've got all the Pis finally removed. MI7 nodes, there's still a handful of Pis out there still running, but I've got a stack of them, so I'm going to repurpose them for the mesh core repeaters that somebody wants to stick out. So they're not going to go to waste. But, man, I should just sell them on the black market the way the cost of pies are.
And the Raspberry Pis strictly do Linux, right? That's the only OS that you cannot have the Raspberry Pi Linux or the All-Star Linux.
Well, it's not All-Star Linux. It's Raspbian is the OS ARM architecture. Raspberry Pis are ARM architecture, so while it is Linux, it's the ARM version of it, so your packages and binaries all need to be compiled into ARM to run on Raspberry Pis. They're an ARM CPU architecture, whereas the WISE is x86, so you can run x86 software versions of Debian on it.
Gotcha. I learn more every day when I talk on the radio with somebody. Well, because I was looking at, like, maybe getting another one and running Ubuntu on it or something like that.
So Ubuntu, another Debian-based distribution, has ARM CPU architecture, so you can run the ARM version of Ubuntu on there and such, run a Pi. But you can't just take the Pi SD card and slap it in a WISE box. It's not going to work. You really wouldn't want to, because SD cards are trash.
Now, can I, like, say I get another Pi. Can I copy info from one SD card to another, and then plug it in and make another All-Star node?
I don't know why you wouldn't just start with a fresh SD card if you're making a second node, but you would have to image the SD card, not just copy file copy. You would need to image it because there's special things on the SD card that the partitions that the SD card needs to have for the Raspberry Pi to do. But if you're just building another node, just do a fresh install and be done with it.
Sounds simple enough. Working today, Fred, or are you just coming back today? KCK Joe.
Well, had to do a study. Gonna clean it, get my little brother's repeater back online, put a new router, new switch, add LTE backup. So, I'm doing site work today. The rain cleared out. Before the next band of rain comes in, I'm going to try to get up there and do that.
Yeah, today is packing boxes and blah, 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 you know, at my late mother-in-law's house. To get my brother-in-law out of there, get his
stuff in the storage. See how much progress we can make today.
Well, there you go. Just gonna quickly go and do this here, get this out of the way, and get the part that's been sitting on the desk off my desk so that I can put the next project on my desk so that I can get more crap out of my house. Garage.
I get where you're coming from there. I like to do that too. Taking stuff from my mother's house, bringing it to our house, going through everything, keeping what we want, selling or discarding what we don't, or donating, whatever you want to call it, and then go on to the next box. All right, I'll cut you loose. You can go finish your project. I'll talk to you later. It's your final. KCKQ.
And it's at the city limits, so I should probably call dispatch, let them know where it's going. WS.
$2.96.9 a gallon.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Is that with your BP card?
No, that's your trick, buddy.
Really? Meyer?
Yeah, but I had 5,000 Meyer points, so I got 50 cents off in addition to the Sheets price. Oh, yeah.
Okay, you win.
Yeah, I was, when you told me about that, I drove by and I looked, yep, 346, they're competing with Sheets, but I didn't quite need the gas, you know, so I said, well, I gotta run to New Haven tomorrow morning for breakfast and then to the shop and stuff like that, I'll do all that, and that got me down. I wasn't quite on fumes, but, you know, I got it down. I got nowhere else planned to go for a while, so I figured this is as empty as I was going to get.
Well, then that worked out perfectly. That's the way to do it right there. Yeah, with the new Sheets over here, I mean, I used to go to Costco to get filled up, and then I'd go walking at Costco to get my cardio in and also maybe do a little shopping. But now with the Sheets over here, I'm going to be hitting the Myers for a while.
Oh, yeah, and it worked out real good because I had like 4,500 points expiring at the end of this month. So, you know, I got to use it. 5,000 points gets you 50 cents a gallon. And so, you know, I was right there. I've got about 2,500 still banked up, so that'll get me 20 cents off a gallon. But if I shop at Meijer's a couple of times, you know, that'll go up. But, anywho, I don't go through all that much gas with my, you know, still having a work vehicle and all. This thing, you know, when I'm going to park it here in a mile, and I won't probably drive it much except for a mile for a carryout until the weekend again.
I never had a work vehicle, now that I think about it. I've been paid mileage before, but I've never had a work vehicle.
Yeah, I've kind of always had one, you know, with few exceptions. There was a little while when I first started this job where I didn't, but that was just for the first couple of years, and then I had one. And now I've got one actually assigned to me, not just a service vehicle. It's a little different dynamic. I got to pay tax on it and all that, usage and all that stuff, but it works out no matter what. But yeah, you know, I mean, going all the way back to when we first met. Remember when I pulled up at Dunkin' Donuts with the FCC van?
No, memory's not that good. I know it's been a while, though. I think it was 1988, wasn't it?
No, I think it was a little before that because we were getting our ham tickets in 88. We were playing on the CB for a couple of years there before, but yeah, I was in the, you guys, I thought I invented extra channels. I was fresh out of, you know, engineering school, and I was playing around with the radio, and I says, wait a minute. I says, if I take this PLL chip and I just do this and this, I just invented frequencies. And I heard you, and I went, what are you doing on my frequencies I just invented? And you said, okay, let's meet up. So you said Dunkin' Donuts, you know, the one right there by us. And so when I pulled up with all them antennas and that Allen van that I used to work out of, you guys kind of freaked a little bit.
Yeah, that part I remember. That part I remember, the actual meeting on the radio part. And, yeah, I also remember those days when you're working out the back of your van, doing the old peek and clip, next for freaks and whatnots. The fun days. Good old days. I don't know if you remember Richard. He used to drive that Fiero around, that black Fiero. I've recently hooked back up with him and see him once in a while. He's up by just north of 18 in DeQuinder there.
Yeah, I remember him. And then there was, who was the couple that lived over there in the apartments? I can't remember her name, their names. Could probably come up with the handles, but you know what I'm talking about, the couple that we were running with for a while there.
Yeah, the cute blonde, Matt and Nita, for Juanita. it's kind of a funny story there. I don't know if I'll probably tell you on the radio, but let's just say they like to swing a bit.
That does not surprise me. So, but yeah, I wonder. They were good peeps. I like them, and yeah, we had a pretty good crew there. You know, there was there was Cat. You know, there was that too.
I actually tracked Cat down once, and kind of got angry with him because he was doing his stupid saxophone stuff, and. He was just a blithering idiot, basically. He basically just looked like he had no life. He had a van with a big whip on top, and the back was filled with batteries so he could run his KW, and basically just trashed the vans. But, yeah, the old days. Anyway, you got to be home by now, so I will let you go. W-Y-A-M.
Okie doke. Yeah, thanks for the tip. Like I said, gas under $3. Can't beat that with a stick. We could beat somebody at a gas station with a stick and take the pump from them. Then that's cheaper. But not good. Ah, neighbor sold his formula. He had a big formula drag boat. He brought it home yesterday because he said he was selling it, and it's gone. So he must be one of the happiest days in his life. All right, catch you later. I am here, W8FU.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Can we get a handle on who's running packets out of Flint? EPRS, I presume. Come on. It's been going on for a day now.
Can I make it? EPRS radio is great.
Well, usually the idiots can figure it out within a few hours, but this has been going on for a day now.
Well, the problem is you gotta catch the packet, figure out who it is, and bug them.
Maybe somebody actually on the Flint repeater can turn on their decode and see if they can catch it, figure out who it is.
Yeah, going to grab on the input. The computer's too slow.
I've actually decoded through the repeater a few times, but this one going across multiple networks, it's not likely I'm going to be able to decode it down here. So you'd have a better shot up that way, at least being on the same network. But anywho.
Yeah, and if you're close enough, you can just monitor the input and see if you can catch it, but yeah, it's a little harder to go through the repeater. Yeah, if you
want. I'll be right with you.
Good morning, John. AWJ.
Good morning, Rickster. How goes it this fine Sunday morning?
Good. I got a belly full of chip beef and out on the porch having myself a cigar. How you doing?
Sorry about that. I was kind of in the middle of a chat here. I have to type my response. Doing pretty good. Went to breakfast with the Macomb Air PSC group. Plus, we should say plus. Yeah, we got to be like that LGBTQ plus. We're ARPSC plus.
Oh, cool. That's now you got every Saturday and Sunday morning here. You got somewhere to have breakfast. But isn't that a little bit of a drive for you?
Well, the Saturday breakfast is every Saturday, and that's right here. I could walk there. It's right. It's literally right at the corner, and so that one's easy for me. And most of the guys that attend that one are all from, you know, within a mile or so. It's pretty close. Occasionally, we'll get a traveler come visit, but the restaurants know, you know, it's nothing special. It's fine. You know, it's just a typical little diner. The one we did today is quite a drive. It's up in New Haven, and they only do that one every other month, second Sunday, even months. So they won't do it again now until June, second Sunday in June. So that's not bad. And then I like to get out your way. You know, I'd like to do it once a month, but just there's been all sorts of stuff going on. One of the main guys has been battling with, his wife's been going through some stuff, and he's been having some issues, and you know, then they were out of town for a little bit, so that, and then another one, he works on Sundays, so it's hard to coordinate with him, and then that leaves Phil, Don, and I, who are usually, Don's sometimes working, so really leaves Phil and I, but we have to really, you know, we're all usually game, we just kind of toss it out there. Breakfast Sunday, question mark. Next thing you know, there's breakfast. But that one's a little less planned for. So, but we'll be bringing one somewhere near you pretty soon there.
Well, it's nice you guys getting together like that and putting a face with the voice. See, I did once go to the Cozy Cabin there. Like it was, it must have been a year and a half ago or something like that. Then once I went to another club, they were gathering over in, it was that? It was off of 275 something. Both of them were quite long drives for me, but it was worth it just to meet people and have a decent breakfast.
Yeah, I don't know what the one off 275 would have been. Now, we did one out that way several months back. One of the guys had an appointment that was out that way, and so we all decided to converge out that way. And just to mix it up, I like driving. I don't get out much, so if, you know, there's a breakfast get-together and it's anywhere in the southeast of Michigan, I'll probably I'm game. But, yeah, the one I like to do one out your way.
you know, every now and again. I'd like to do it monthly, but we get pretty slack, and then life, you know, life comes in there, and you know, everybody's got stuff to do.
Yeah, I seem to remember hearing you guys on the radio every once in a while coming out to, I think it was Farmington there. But, yeah, it's only a hop and a skip down the road there. It's kind of cool. Still, you get together with radio folks there. I hear a lot of people talking, but I don't really hear a lot of people that actually get together and, you know, chew the fat. It sounds pretty good to me.
Well, there's always handoffs, you know. It's like so-and-so wants to get this to such-and-such, and I need to pick up something from, you know, so-and-so, and I've got something in case so-and-so shows up, I can drop off. You know, it's just, you know, and then I wanted to talk to such, and you know, this guy, and you know, we had lots of little sidebars and stuff like that. We fill up a whole bunch of tables in the place, plus, you know, like some people bring the family. Tom generally brings a crew. You know, his wife and kids and all that. So they grab a booth and kind of off the main. You know, it's right next, joining everybody. And you know, and then Dave showed up with his girls and he grabbed the booth. And so it all works. Everybody's right there. You know, and then you can talk. And then when breakfast is over, people tend to move around. You know, and have little conversations. So, you know, but it's a lot of people. So you know, it's hard to catch everybody and really sit down and have. You know, have 5 minutes with everybody, but, you know, and then lots of stuff was exchanged, and show and tell, a lot of people, you know, Tom got a new car that he'd been talking about quite a bit, so, you know, I wanted to check that out, and I'm sure he wanted to, you know, show a couple of people, and, you know, so it's good to get together every now and again, if nothing else, just to kind of, you know, do all that stuff, and then face-to-face always, you know, beats, you know, radio or telephone or even Zoom. It's nice to just do a face-to-face now and again. But you know that. W8FU.
Yeah,
yep,
it's the difference between friends and acquaintances. And that's a really good thing there. I'm glad you guys do that. I even enjoy just listening to somebody passes up on somebody else. I know you guys were doing Wyatt a big favor there not too long ago. What an awesome young guy. It's just nice to hear that going on. I don't hear that all over the place.
Oh, sorry about that. I got this sidebar going on here. So I'm going to tend to that and kind of reporting in on the breakfast with somebody who didn't attend, but... a small circle of us that all held the same jobs. And the guy that I replaced the guy I'm talking to right now where he works over in your neighborhood, and he showed up to breakfast, so I'm talking to the guy he replaced. And so just kind of get him caught up. All right, Rick, I'll catch you in a bit. I'll be listening. I'll be back in here in a bit. I'm going to finish up this conversation. W8FU.
Okay, sure, I'm going to catch up again. You don't ever have to apologize about, you know, having other things going on. That's just lifeless to the people, you know. So anyway, have yourself a good one there, and we'll catch you later. KDHWOJ.
Connected to CMN Network.
At ADBM.
Good afternoon, Dakota. ADHWOJ.
How are we doing today?
Good, fat and sassy. How about you?
Oh, I think I can relate to that. I just had some pizza for lunch. And, yeah, they're not doing much today.
Yes, sir, I'm the same. Just got a belly full of shit on the shingle. sorry about the English, but it's the best way I know to describe it.
Is that a sandwich of some type?
Yeah, that's what they used to call back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. They used to call chip beef on toast.
You said chip, like Charlie Hotel India Papa beef, or I've never heard. You're going to have to learn me here.
Yeah, you got it. It's very, very thin, small pieces of beef chipped up in little pieces and put in this kind of a white gravy kind of thing. And then you kind of just heat that up and pour it over toast. It's sort of, in a way, a runny form of biscuits and gravy.
All right, I'm picking up what you're throwing down now. I got you.
Didn't you just get a new radio?
Rick, I've been so irresponsible. I got 3 new radios.
That ain't irresponsible. That's addictive.
I got that repeater all set up, and I'm like, sweet, I can use HTs around the house now. I can bebop around town on low power with my mobile and sound good and hear well. So I'm like, screw it, I'll get a Motorola. And I bought $75.50. I got a smoking deal on it on eBay. It was like $240. Thing was it recased. I put new knobs and a new antenna on it. You'd never know that it was used, and a new battery. And I'm like, man, these things are nice. So then I bought an R7, and I love, that's what I'm on right now. That's like my jam. I love this thing. And then I'm like, well, now I want a mobile. So then I bought a mobile.
Yeah. Well, that thing sounds really good. Yeah, I'm the same way. When I first started to, I got into my first mobile radio was a head cross pan repeat. And then two of my HTs were all Chinese radios, head cross pan repeat. So I got into that. Not really knowing that, you would have to receive, retransmit and all that kind of stuff, how hot the radios get. But I ran them for quite a long time and ran around all over the place and never burned anything up. But anyway, the area I'm in, there's so many repeaters around, I don't really need to do that.
Yeah, I used to do that too. That's actually the first form of a repeater I had at my house. I was like, my 2730, I'd have that thing on a crossband repeat, and then I would just walk around the house with an HT. Worked great, but like you said, it starts to get hot after a while. I would keep it on low power. That's all I needed, but, it's not what they're meant for. And then Sean and I kind of brainstormed. I'm like, let's put a high-profile note at the house. And we ran into issues with some of the mobiles that we were trying to set up. One of the transit radio would just cut out randomly, and I don't know, just a couple issues, and then the frequency we originally picked had interference on it. So then he had this ICOM repeater that Anthony gave him to put up in Grosse Pointe, and I tried that out. I'm like, well, everything else is a no-go for me. Like, I want one of these. So I found one on eBay, got a killer deal on it, lowballed the guy at $150, and the only thing I had to do to it was get a programming cable and change the fans. And the fans worked, they were just too loud. So now that I got that thing, it was like a gateway drug for everything else. I just got, HTs, and it kind of changed how I play radio now, because before it was either on the note or I'd have to sit at my desk.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. When I first got into this, too, I was wanting to do something useful, so I got in on the siren testing, and I didn't have a mobile in the car kind of thing, so I set up most of the sirens were around my house within a couple of miles, so that's what I kind of originally set up the crossband repeat for. But like I said, it turned out that I could, especially with the 10-watt handhelds, I could reach most of the repeaters there without needing it. So, but yeah. It sure is addicting. I don't have a whole lot of radios, but some of them are just sitting there collecting dust. I haven't used it in a while. and yet I still want more.
You know, that was like my logic with buying these radios, is you kind of like don't go any higher than that without spending like ungodly money, which I would never do. So I was like, well, if I get these, I'm set for like ever, right? There's nothing more to want. I sold my Kenwood to buy the R7, so that was basically a wash. So I'm, you know, I'm good there. And it's like, what else do I really need? So I think I'm finally at the point where I'm like content and good with my mobiles and HTs. I was content and good before, but I kind of just traded the Kenwood for the Motorola is really all I did. And that was just because D-Star is just non-existent around here. So I just wanted to get a quality DMR radio for the network and all that. And that was kind of like the gateway to, well, now I want the mobile. But I've got the same thing. I've got my FPM-150 in the truck that I'm going to sell. I got my 2730 in a bag that I don't know what I'm going to do with that because I'm probably not going to use it anymore. And then I got a couple the HTs I have left that aren't Motorola. They're dual band, analog, you know, nothing special like a FT60. I've got a VX6R. They're not fancy HTs, so those just kind of hang out. But, yeah, same thing. I got too many radios now.
Now, see, I use the prepper excuse, you know, kind of thing. Well, you know, SHTF happens, or, you know, weird things happen. Mother Nature hammers us or whatever kind of thing. I really need a lot of these radios to pass out to the family, and I've got, like, I think three different mobiles because of Band-Aid is different vehicles for communications kind of stuff. So I just keep leaning on that, and I feel like I'm a good boy, you know, because they're a family, and they don't really want nothing to do with it. AWOJ.
Yeah, none of my friends or family have any interest in it either, but I keep a little stockpile. I don't know, I got six or seven in the safe that are just kind of sitting there idle. They're, like I said, they're nothing fancy. The most expensive one in there is a VX6R, which is, by today's standards, not that expensive, but that's pretty much what they're there for, just in case I need them or I don't want to, like, I'll take them hunting or in the woods or whatever. Buddy and I ran down turkeys one day. We hunted all day. I got him to get his GMRS license. This was 2 or 3 years ago. We did 9 miles that day and ended up wrapping up the day by radios running down birds, pushing them towards each other. So I don't even know if that's legal or not, but they came in handy. So I'm not going to take a Motorola to do that when I'm climbing through the woods and belly crawling in a field. I'll bring something cheaper that's meant for it.
GMRS is kind of what hooked me, too. I used to get the cheap radios for deer season, you know, that two-week deer season kind of thing, just to keep in touch. But, and it was, I did the same thing, you know. I'd be over in one spot a few hundred yards away from a buddy of mine kind of thing. You know, if I see some does heading over in that direction, I'd let them know. We didn't have doe permits, so I just let them know that the does are on the way towards you kind of thing, but so keep an eye out for a bunch of following kind of thing. And I'm not sure if that was legal either, but we did it anyway. speaking of hunting there, is turkey season open and have you been out this weekend?
Yeah, I try to get my buddies on board with at least getting their GMRS so we can use it for that exact purpose, because that seems to be how we do things. Most of the places we hunt don't have good cell reception, or, you know, they don't feel it or hear it in their pocket, so then you just clip a radio to your vinyl harness and you don't have to worry about it. And I think turkey is, what's today, the 12th? Today, next weekend. Saturday, the 18th.
Oh, okay. I got a Tom about, I'm going to say 200, 250 yards northeast of me. And every morning before daylight, when I go out there to feed cats, he's out there gobbling all by himself. I don't hear anybody answering, nobody else. And I've got one of the fox calls kind of thing, and I keep wanting to take it out in the morning to see if I could draw them over. But I keep forgetting that's 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I just, the brain's not real clear. You know, it's a little foggy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know I don't know what I'm going to do this year. I don't know if I'm going to haunt my buddy's farm and sit, or if I'm going to see if I can still get out of some of the fields I used to hunt over in Armada and chase them, which is what I prefer. I don't like sitting for birds. I don't know if I've ever actually sat and shot turkey. I've always chased them, so I think that's going to be the plan. I got to get a couple of my buddies that live over there and see what we're going to do, but I'm pumped to bring out the 410 again. I didn't hunt last year, but the year before I put together a Rossi Tuffy Turkey, break action 410, Pattern Master Code Black Goose Choke, and a Vortex Red Dot on it, and got my first Tom with a 410, and that was an absolute riot, so I'm ready to do that again.
Well, I kind of, the same way I used to enjoy a deer hunt, still hunt kind of thing, just move real slow, and, you know, you keep on the move kind of thing, you run across track, you got to decide, you know, should I trail them, or, you know, whatever kind of thing. Seems like it's way more interesting to just sit down a bucket all day. You know, as the health got a little worse and worse kind of thing, I ended up on the bucket.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't see or talk to my buddies too much. I mean, I talk to them, but the hype around the season isn't there anymore. Everyone's gotten busy with kids and work and all that crap, but speaking of kids, I got to clean up here, so I'll be back here in a minute. Got cheeses smashed all over the living room. So I'm going to clear out. I'll be back at ADBF.
Okay, Dakota. Have a good one. We'll catch you later. Okay, you'll be with you.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
KADFD.
Weather, dinking around with some antenna stuff, and trying to keep the kids from getting too muddy. What are you doing?
I just completed a deal. Sold my UT-106 DSP unit to a guy in Kentucky, so that was just finished that up. Now I don't know what's on the agenda. You know, I got a little antenna work I should be doing.
You're on the way to your new toys, and I thought this was going to be like a smack it on the roof, sweep the SWR and go inside kind of deal, and I'm dumbfounded. The little, it's just a tiny tram 2.5-inch mag mount with that antenna I texted you a picture of, and if I put the O-ring on there, the SWR shoots up to 7. If I take the O-ring out, it's at 1.2.
Hold on, let me go find this picture. Sure we're on the same page. So what is that base? I can't quite tell what that is. Is it like a magnet or something? What is that?
That is my Breed Love. So it's just a fake pocket mount with a UHF bulkhead. Or basically a barrel connector, and then I put an NMO adapter on it. That's fine. I got that to 1.6 at 447. I'm good with that. There's a mag mount I can send you a picture of. That's going to be for my wife's truck. Same dinky little UHF antenna, NMO, 2.5-inch mount. If I put the NMO O-ring on, it jumps up to like 7.2. And if I take the O-ring out, it goes down to 1.2.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I zoomed in on it. I couldn't tell what them circles were, but those are Allen heads. Right. And then it's got some paint that's chipping off on it. So I couldn't quite tell what it was. But now I can tell exactly what it is. So what's happening is when you put the O-ring on there, if you look underneath the antenna you're running, it's just like a little curly Q. And then there's a flat button on the NMO mount. Those two got a touch. And when you put that gasket in there, causing that connection to just break. So you could go in and you could bend that pigtail loop in there so that it guarantees touches down, or just leave it off. There's no need for it.
That's what I thought it was because I was dinking around with the Breedlove, and then I was finally like, okay, I got this to where I needed to. So the cool thing with the setup I have on the truck is because it's just the UHF barrel connector and I put an NMO adapter on it, I could actually adjust the depth. So I got that to feed up real nice. But this mag mount, I can't adjust anything, and that must be what's going on. And the inside of the antenna, so it's just literally, it's the most basic antenna ever. It's just a straight antenna wire to like a small little copper or brass plate, and then there's like a Delrin insulator that holds it all in there. There's no curly Q or anything. It's just flat plate. The antenna is like glued in place or something, and that's it.
Okay, so the ones that have like a brass kind of like finger or something like that, you can bend those down. But there's several different undersides I've seen of those antennas. So if you want to shoot me a picture inside, but the bottom line is that when you put the gasket in there, you're not making contact. So if you can do anything to build that up, whether you can bring the center pad of the NMO up, I doubt that. It depends on the NMO. There are some NMOs that are adjustable in that plane, but those are special, like thick roof mount specialties. Generally, you're going to have to do it in the antenna, and if you can bring whatever's in there down a little bit, just a hair, just enough to compensate. But again, unless you're on the roof, if you've drilled a hole in the roof, that gasket's only just to keep moisture. If you're going to any kind of a mount, you don't need that gasket at all.
Well, that settles it. No gasket it is. I just texted you a picture of it. If there's a way to adjust it, let me know. I'll slap a gasket on there. That would just make me feel better because it's more friction to keep it from coming loose, but it's a mag mount that's going to be taken on and off, so it's not like I can't check it every time I touch it.
Oh, yeah, that's a new one. I've never seen that. Now, if you could get the brass, the outer brass on the mag mount tightened down a little bit more, you might be able to bring up that internal piece just the hair you need. But looking at all this, it ain't worth the aggravation. There's no need for the gasket. And if you're getting a good SWR without the gasket and it's making the contact.
That's all I needed to know. I'm sending it. I don't really care. I think the mag mount was $20 and that antenna was like $17. And the only reason I'm doing this is A, I'm going to mess around with that Motorola in the bag, and B, my wife parks in the garage, so then she's hitting the roof with the antenna on my Comet's getting all bent up. So at least this, you can drive in and out without any issue.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Just leave it off of there. Like I said, you don't got to worry about any moisture getting past that and into the car. Now, you know, can a little moisture get up in there past the brass threads and then, you know, get a little moisture in the base? Yeah, but guess what? They all do that. So, you know, that can come in from the top, around the rubber. There's any number of ways it can get in there. That's just something that, you know, you just have to be aware of and check them and clean them up every now and again, but you'll be fine. I ran hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those without any gasket, and I hadn't seen a whole lot of difference.
I figured if anyone was going to shoot me straight about an NMO, it was going to be you, so I'm glad I caught you.
No problem. So now I feel like, you know what I'm going to do? I know the weather's great, but I got some indoor work. I'm going to get the... I'm so excited about how well I'm doing with the stuff I'm listing. I'm going to get all the HTs all sticky, span, cleaned up, get them all packed away, get them all factory reset, get them all packed away in their boxes, and get those listed. Just start building that kitty, baby.
So what's your heart set on?
Well, I want the Viking Mobile, the VM8000. That's what I want. And but that's going to be a matter of whether I can work something out. There are some other contenders, and the Tate is absolutely a contender as well. The Tate VP 9900 or VM 9900. Well, he's got the Tate VM 9900, but there's a handheld. Now, in a perfect world, I'd get a Viking VM 8000 in the car and a Tate VP 9900 portable, but that's crazy talk.
Are Tate radios like the elitist, or are they more of like a boutique because of what they are?
I would put them, they're kind of, they're not quite, they're a contender. They're up there with, you know, they're up there with Motorola. I've seen some of their infrastructure. It's very, very well made. I would put it with the best of the Kenwood stuff, the Viking line, and you know, perhaps the Harris stuff. I don't think the Harris stuff or the Johnson Viking stuff has anything on them. Motorola is still Motorola, right? But they're right up there. You just don't see as much of it here because they're huge in you know, Asia, you know, Asia, Pacific, Australia, all out that way. They're like the Motorola of Australia.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, good luck. I know that game all too well. Got to move old gear to buy new gear.
Yeah, it's really going to depend on, you know, even if I put together, you know, some, you know, crazy amount, you know, by selling, you know, the right things, I still couldn't see my way clear to, you know, at a certain point, it's just, I don't care if it is fun money. I just can't spend that on a radio. So the right deal's got to come along. So it's two-part. You know, one, I got these things I'm selling, you know, and I'm getting a kitty together that doesn't have to touch any of my real money. And then second, I still got to get the good deal. If I don't get the, you know, the deal that I want to, you know, go on, then I just can't see my way clear to it.
So they're that cheap, huh?
Good choice of words, yeah.
So is that like a QRZ kind of deal, eBay, or how do you track those down on the second hand if they're not that popular over here?
Sorry about that. Heard something over on the other band. I thought it was me. I think it was my name, but nobody was calling me. So you asked about something about finding them, like eBay, blah, blah, blah. What was, give me the gist of that again.
I just asked, if you're not going new and they're not super popular over here, how do you go about tracking down, I guess, any of them, let alone a good deal, in this part of the world?
Well, the Viking and the Tates, I'm looking at new. You know, so, you know, I'm trying to work something there. And, but there are some that are popping up on the used market, just like, you know, the Motorola stuff pops up on the used market. So some of that stuff is making its way out there. You know, the Viking 8000 is new. It's brand new. It's all-in-one, you know, multi-band, multi-protocol radio. But before it, they had the NX series. And the NX series could also do it with some caveats, right? And those are starting to pop a little bit. You know, they're still expensive, but they're starting to pop on eBay and things like that. Tate, again, same thing. I don't know of anything used in the 9900 series, but they've got 9800, 9700 series, but... I'd have to do a lot of research there to see what, you know, Wally's had some experience buying used tapes, P25 tapes, and he's gotten some really, really good bargains on those. But I think in order to move into their multi-protocol radio, you're pretty much stuck looking at new. There's nothing yet new, or, you know, or nothing yet used in that realm.
So this is like the one-stop shop radio. You don't need multiple rigs in your vehicle. You're going to do dual band or tri-band and then do a DMR P25. That's what it sounds like. Am I correct?
Well, in a perfect world, I'd get the one of the mobiles in the car that would cover me for all, you know, VHF, UHF, and 800. DMR and P25, so I'd have, you know, multi-protocol, multi-band, and that's all I'd need. And I just have the one radio in my car, and that would handle everything, including all my 800 stuff. You know, so, you know, that's why that one's, you know, that, a lot of people won't need that, right? And, you know, and there are other options. You can kind of start dabbling in this field. If you don't need the 800 part. And the 800 adds a lot of money because that's where you got to have all the, you know, P25 type 1 and type 2 trunking, the ka-ching, they add money to the cost. And, you know, and if you're going to be doing the stuff I do, you're looking at buying encryption modules and multi-key and ka-ching. It just keeps adding up. So, you know, you don't need all that if you're using it strictly for ham radio. And you can start peeling off, you know, quite a bit of money to get it, you know, into something that's very, very suitable for us. But anyhow, yeah, in the perfect world, I'd have, like, one of the tri-band multi-protocol radios in the car. And, a multi-protocol tri-band radio handheld for everything else. But again, now we're talking two radios. That's again, I said crazy talk. If I just get the mobile, I'd consider myself done, because yeah, I can do whatever, you know, on the fly, you know, get somewhere. Okay, what are we running? Oh, we're running DMR. Okay, grab the DMR radio. Oh, we're running P25, grab the P25 radio. They all have analog, you know, what band, you know, it doesn't matter. Dual banders, you know, there's just a lot of options. But in the car, I just like to keep it clean. One simple multi-band, multi-protocol radio, call it a day. That's my goal.
I can appreciate that. It's kind of why I'm doing what I'm doing. I didn't want to bring an HP with open spot to talk on DMR and then have an analog mobile and deal with all that crap. I, you know, it's like you said, as clean as you can make it, I'm all for it. But, yeah, those sound, I don't even know where those land in price, but I'm assuming like nothing else. So, well, good luck. Hopefully you come across, well, no, you said you got to go new, so there won't be too many deals to be had, but hopefully you can move the things that are collecting dust and get that kitty built.
Yeah, I'll talk to you in other forums or offline about, you know, the options and all the, you know what we're talking about. And as far as, you know, cost, you know, what you got to ante up to get in, it's not as far off as you think. If you do the mental gymnastics we generally do when we're looking to buy a toy, and I qualify that.
If there's one thing I'm great at, it is justifying spending money to buy toys. So, we'll talk offline. But hopefully, well, I don't know how new they are, but there's always people that like to try new things and then move on to the next thing. So you may come across a used one.
Yeah, there's some other things, you know, cooking. I've got some demos coming of the Viking product line, so I'm going to be able to test that to see if it actually lives up to the hype, whether it's worth, anyhow, it's involved. It's sit down over a coffee or in chat or something like that and can tell you how we got here. There's a lot of players involved and all that stuff, and the numbers are all still flushing out, so, but that's the goal. You know, otherwise I'm going to do two radios in the car, and I like handheld control heads. I got a really nice Motorola P25 UHF radio with a handheld control head, and I could upgrade that to a dual band deck, you know, VHF, UHF, P25, and that would be a handheld control head. And, you know, hell,
when you're not using that, you just throw the you know, control head in the center console or under the seat or whatever, and you know, you don't even know it's in the car. But then, you know, then what, do you have a second radio for you know, for DMR? You know, right now I'm running around with Fusion, which I never use, and analog, and you know, so I don't got any of them. So if I'm running any of those protocols, I got to grab a, you know, any number of radios. All right, I got to jump out of here for a bit. I got to get the trash out. There's to the bin. There's something making. I've got some vegetables that I think are smelling in the bottom of the can, and the XYL is complaining. I'll be back. W8FU. I just moved my garbage cans too because they were starting to get a little ripe. All right, I'll catch you later at 8 BBF.
KF8FQN, KCKGO, how you doing, Wyatt?
KCKGO, KF8FQN. I'm doing good, how about you, Tom?
Doing good. Did you get your any phone out programmed up the way you like it?
I'm just figuring out the controls and stuff. I just figured out how to do DMR and analog. But today, I will not put into the map, but I already have the Anytone software downloaded, and I'll program the stuff in. Thank you again for getting me that radio.
NATVR joined.
NATVR, good afternoon, Brian. Wyatt and Cujo here, KKKJO. Go ahead, buzzer, and then send it over to Wyatt.
Yeah, just trying to make sure this radio was working. I missed the net. Because it's my radio. I'll tell you about it in a second. And make sure it's over.
KF8FQN. Hey Brian, you're kind of cutting in and out there. And Maya, I don't know about Kudo then, you're pretty quiet, but overall, you're coming in good. I guess you're like a 5.7. But yeah, your radio's working good. Over to you, Tom.
Yeah, you're a little staticky there, Brian. I'm not sure where you're at. You must be on your HD. You've come in a lot more clear than that before.
No, I'm on the street.
Yeah, you were really staticky there. You were barely audible. I'll hand it over to Tom.
It's a little bit better, but not too much. I don't know what repeater you're on. Maybe change repeaters.
KF8FQN. I'm assuming it's my turn. I got my buddy Jack in here with me, and he wants to ask. Tim and I were hanging out. I decided to see if I can make some contact on the radio or show him. But yeah, Brian had copied. I heard you there better. You're a bit more clear. Back to you, Tom.
Oh, good, Wyatt. I'll cut you loose and you can talk with Jeff and stuff like that. And Brian's up there. I got a couple people in my car here, so I got some background noise. Is that answer on your final?
Connected to CMN Network.
Kilo, Foxtrot, 8, Golf, Bravo, Alpha. Test the repeater.
KEAGKP, KEAGKP, KR4HTA. KEAGKP, KR4HTA, Kilo NF4, Hotel Tango Alpha to KEAGKP.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Foxtrot Lima Yankee, Kilo Echo 8, Foxtrot Lima Yankee, monitoring.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KC8, Delta Zulu.
Connected to CMN Network.
Audio level is very low.
W-A-D.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.